Welcome to Signal Moise Weekly. I'm your editor. Big week. Iran war. Primary upsets. A rocket hit the moon. Let's get into it.
And that's not even the strangest part of the week.
It really isn't. The moon thing might be fifth on my list.
Okay. Starting with the headline everyone led with. U.S. running low on long-range precision missiles, and Trump calling it a last-chance deal moment. Strategist. Break down how outlets framed this.
So the framing split is really clean here. Left-center outlets led with the missile depletion. That's a we're running out of ammunition story.
Which is a vulnerability frame. That's not subtle.
Right. And the right led with the deal. The last chance offer. That's a strength frame. Trump forcing Iran to the table.
Same week, same events, two completely different wars.
Exactly. One story is about American limits. The other is about American leverage.
Okay, but here's what I want to push on. 19 sources covered this. That's actually not that many for an active war story involving Hormuz.
Why do you think the coverage was that thin?
Because the deal is floating. Nobody wants to overcall it. Oil fell on deal optimism. Equities edged up. Oman confirmed a draft proposal. The markets were cautiously optimistic.
And that caution probably bled into editorial decisions, too.
You're saying editors were waiting to see if it collapsed before going big?
I think so. You don't want to run deal done and then have Hormuz close again Tuesday.
That would be a bad Tuesday.
Genuinely terrible. Okay, the missile depletion angle, though. Strategist, how does that play with the audience psychology?
So for a left-center audience, readers who were already skeptical of the Iran campaign, we're running out of missiles confirms the fear. It validates the this was a bad idea narrative.
But wait, does the data actually support the depletion claim? Like, was this official or leaked?
It came from U.S. Central Command adjacent sourcing. Rubio and Besant were both on record saying talks had progressed. The depletion detail was, yeah, it was in the reporting.
Central Command also said the southern Hormuz route remains free and open. That's a competing frame in the same official statement.
Ooh. So you could pull either half of that statement and write completely different headlines.
And they did. Both halves got used.
Which is, I mean, that's the week in one sentence, honestly. Okay. Let's talk the blind spot, because this one bothered me. The Ukraine story.
Two outlets
covered Russia hitting Kyiv with 29 missiles and 115 drones. 17 people dead.
And it's a right side blind spot, which is, look, that's the one that surprises me most this week.
Why does it surprise you? Iran is the hot war right now. Ukraine coverage has been sliding for months.
Okay, fair. But the interceptor shortage detail? Zelensky specifically flagged that air defenses couldn't keep pace. That's a major strategic signal. That should have gotten picked up more broadly.
Forecaster, what does the market care about here?
Honestly, not much signal in prediction markets on Ukraine this week. The Iran deal is eating all the oxygen. Everything geopolitical is downstream of Hormuz right now.
So Ukraine gets 17 dead and two outlets because everyone's watching the Strait.
Yeah. The editorial bandwidth is finite, and Iran took it all.
And here's the thing. The Zelensky-Serbia visit? Completely buried. That's actually a huge diplomatic signal about Russian influence waning in the Balkans.
That's on the blind spot list. Right side blind spot.
The Serbia visit? That's a right side blind spot? That seems backwards. A story about NATO-adjacent expansion and Russian retreat.
I know, right? You'd think that plays better for a right audience.
Unless the right is so focused on Iran as the primary theater that everything else is noise to them right now.
That's actually a clean explanation. One word a time.
Geopolitical monogamy.
Let's move to the markets section. Forecaster, you're up. What did the money actually do this week?
Okay, so oil fell on Hormuz deal optimism. Dow and S&P edged higher. Shipping futures moved. That's the macro picture. Now the interesting stuff.
Give us the interesting stuff.
Palantir crushed earnings, raised its forecast, stock popped hard. Spotify missed, stock dropped. Meanwhile, and this is the one I keep coming back to, GPT-6 release by August 14th is sitting at 2.5% probability.
That feels low. There's been a lot of chatter about an imminent release.
That's exactly my point. The chatter is high, the money is at 2.5%. That is a massive gap between narrative and probability.
So the media is running the GPT-6 is coming story, and the markets are saying, not this month.
Not this week. The swing was less than 1%. Nobody serious is betting on it.
That's actually a really clean example of hype outrunning signal.
It's the Palantir thing, too. Seeking Alpha argued strong numbers didn't resolve the overvaluation question, but the market moved anyway. The narrative and the valuation are doing different work.
Strategist, Palantir is a defense and data company during an active Iran war. Is the stock move about earnings or about the war?
Both. The earnings gave cover to buy a stock that people wanted to own anyway, given the geopolitical environment. The war is the tailwind. Earnings were the trigger.
I'd push back slightly. The forecast raise was genuine. It wasn't just war premium.
I'm not saying the earnings were fake. I'm saying the size of the move had a war risk component.
Fair, I'll give you that.
Did forecaster just concede a point? Noted. Okay, primaries. Let's do the rapid fire. El Sayed wins Michigan. Strategist, what's the frame?
35 sources led with it. Progressive beats establishment. The leftward shift story is dominant.
And the market had him at 97.8% probability the day of. This was not a surprise to anyone watching odds.
So the media treated it as a shock, and the markets treated it as a foregone conclusion.
The establishment versus progressive frame sells better than expected outcome confirmed.
Man wins race he was heavily favored to win. Nobody's clicking that.
Fair point. Cori Bush comeback attempt in Missouri. Two sentences. Go.
She lost 2 years ago. She tried again. The redemption arc frame was everywhere on the left.
Wesley Bell ousted her before and was the heavy favorite again. Not much movement in the odds.
Chuck Edwards censure. Ethics committee. Ed Sheeran private concert. Forecaster, you had a reaction to this.
A private performance of Hills of Aberfeldy? I keep rereading that line.
It's extremely specific.
Like, guns, vacations, jewelry, designer purses, and then Ed Sheeran. That's a list.
The committee said it violated the spirit of the harassment rules. His campaign rejected the findings.
The framing gap here is small. Both sides covered it. When an ethics committee recommends censure, it's hard to spin.
Unless you're his campaign, apparently.
Fauci contempt vote. Rand Paul referred it directly to DOJ, skipping the floor vote. Strategist?
The procedural move is the story. Rand Paul bypassed the normal Senate process. That's significant, and almost nobody led with that angle.
Because the Fifth Amendment angle is more dramatic and plays better.
Right. Fauci pleads the Fifth is a better headline than Senator skips procedural step.
But the procedural skip is actually the bigger constitutional question.
That's the blind spot inside the story. The process is the story.
And the Florida AG subpoena on top of it. They're layering pressure through multiple channels simultaneously.
Birthright citizenship executive orders. Trump's second attempt after the Supreme Court struck down the first. Strategist, fast.
The right led with enforcement and crackdown language. The left led with returns to courts. Both frames are accurate, and both are choosing what to emphasize.
14 sources. Given what happened with the first order, I'd expect this to generate more coverage as the legal challenges mount.
Watch that space. Okay, SpaceX rocket hits the moon.
Unintentionally.
That's doing a lot of work, unintentionally.
4 tons, size of a school bus. SpaceX confirmed it was an accident. Right side blind spot.
Why is a SpaceX story a right side blind spot? I'd have guessed the opposite.
My read, The SpaceX crashed something into the moon frame sounds bad for Musk. Right-leaning outlets may have soft-pedaled it.
Or they were just busy with Iran and Fauci.
Both things can be true.
That's usually the answer with blind spots.
Okay, what to watch next week? Forecaster, you go first.
The Hormuz deal. If it closes, oil moves big. If it collapses, everything reprices. That's the only market signal that matters next week.
Hard to argue with that. Mine is El Sayed, how the establishment Democratic apparatus responds to his win. That tells you where the party is heading into the midterms.
I'm watching Yemen. It's on the blind spot list. Healthcare system collapsing, teetering on civil war, and it's been invisible. At some point, that breaks through. And when it does, the framing is going to be a mess because nobody built the context.
You think it breaks through next week specifically?
I think it's more likely than the GPT-6 release.
2.5% is a low bar.
Honestly, though, the Iran war and Yemen are connected. If Hormuz talks fail, Yemen gets louder, fast.
And that's the thread. Everything this week ran through Hormuz. The missile depletion, the oil markets, the silence on Ukraine, even the Palantir pop. One straight. 20% of the world's traded oil.
And the media covered the deal optimism more than the strategic vulnerability. The frame was hope, not exposure.
Because hope sells ads and exposure sells anxiety. Different business models.
That's the show. All of this, plus the stories nobody told you, at s2n.news. We'll see you next week.